Hello and welcome to RegTech Impact, Christoph.
Hello.
Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to join and have this podcast. My name is Christoph Klarhold. I'm a lawyer by education. Worked in corporate law areas, but also joined the compliance community basically right from my first day of being in the office, joining the corporate legal team at ThyssenKrupp, which is a German conglomerate where I worked for 18 years. And now I'm the chief compliance officer of BMW, one of the most relevant and definitely the best car maker in the world. I joined this company in January, so I'm a rookie in this new position. And still in my, let's say, onboarding phase, and still listening in the listening mode to understand the company and its risks. Between ThyssenKrupp and BMW, I worked for 2 years as general counsel and chief compliance officer for Munich Re, biggest reinsurance company in the world. And then I also had a rather short but interesting phase acting as senior advisor for Boston Consulting. Well, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm 49 years old. Have two kids. My daughter is about to pass, hopefully pass her final school exam. So it's also from the private perspective, interesting times.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, today we are going to talk about the topic compliance leadership. And one of the questions that I got was, when did you first hear the word compliance leadership?
Yeah, I think when at ThyssenKrupp, Heinrich Kiesinger took over as CEO, he had a very fast the understanding that we need to improve not only on the performance side but also on the leadership side, and that we need a change in compliance culture and go through a transition there. And that is was the phase where we as the compliance team got more and more important. And the claim was it's all about performance and values, and that was a good starting point to develop a concrete understanding what entrepreneurial responsibility and compliance leadership is about.
Can you give me a date? It was in
we had the rail cartel, which was kind of a turning point for ThyssenKrupp when the company finally understood that we couldn't continue that way, because it would lead directly into the disaster and probably into bankruptcy. So that was about, let's say, 2011, 2012. I became chief compliance officer of ThyssenKrupp in 2012, and that was a turning point where we got to really, we're in the driver's seat of this culture change.
That means although 10 years ago. But if we're thinking about the compliance leadership, how would you define that? I mean, do you have a definition of that?
No, I think it's there is no definition at hand. I mean, compliance and compliance leadership is in essence probably nothing technical. Yeah, it's really a question of mindset and how can I ensure for myself to do it the right way, and I think this will be. I mean, leaders who are good compliance leaders, they have a clear stand on values. As I said, it's about performance and values as two sides of the same coin. And I mean, we can go into examples here what this means in practice. Walk the talk and tone from the top, I think these are buzzwords, yes, but buzzwords which can be translated into concrete action. Yeah. So, for example, if I develop, I'm in charge as a leader to develop a new product or have an important project, then a good compliance leader will have a good gut feeling on potential compliance risks which could be involved. And where I'm unsecure, I involve my compliance officer. I ensure that there is a kind of compliance by design right from the start, rather than asking compliance at the end of the project whether everything which I have developed is let's say, in accordance with rules and regulations. And these kind of proactively tackling things, sending consistent messages into my team that compliance is important, all that I think makes up what we consider as a good compliance leader.
That means there's no really definition of compliance leadership. It depends on the culture, on the values. Can we say that in that way?
Definitely, yes. I mean, one of the reasons why compliance is such a complex topic is that you cannot, there's no one size fits all approach. It's all mm-hmm. about the company itself, about the risks, the business models, of course, also the markets in which I'm acting, and then of course the company, the culture and the values of the company, and all that, of course, has got an immense impact on how I should behave as a compliance leader.
Absolutely, that's very interesting. The question, what also came up, is why companies must or should improve their compliance leadership. What do you think about the companies? Should they, or is should be a must, or should improving their compliance leadership?
I would say, I mean, compliance is a must, yeah, and then it really depends on, again, on the risks where the risks which is affecting the business models and driving the business models, but I mean, improve on leadership is always a question of the status quo where I'm in. But I would say a lot of companies have the right understanding and have developed that over the last years, that compliance is not only about acting, let's say, in accordance with the laws and regulations, but building up a compliance culture, which is more than that, which is really having an understanding what is the added value of compliance, that it's not enough to simply follow the rules, but that having the right mindset, that protecting the reputation of a company is only possible if you really understand that that there's more about simply following the rules, but that sustainable business requires, let's say, strategic understanding of what compliance is all about.
That's very interesting. One question for that. I mean, is there a rating, or is there a, how you can say, steps of being compliant leadership? Is there something? Can you define something like that? I mean, from company is difficult. What's the stage? Is there something where I can say, okay, I'm better than the others, or is that just an idea what I get?
Well, I mean, I think it's a mixture. I mean, I do not believe in claims like you cannot measure what you cannot measure, because culture is difficult. It's difficult to measure, and acting as a leader is difficult to measure. But of course, there are some, let's say, KPIs. There are some methods. I mean, you can have surveys in your company. You can, of course, build KPIs where you put in relation the risks you have to the way your leadership team acts. Of course, you can do that. But I think basically, I would more believe in a good, honest interview and discussion with some leaders rather than in having a perfect KPI-based risk score, which also have some messages and some content on compliance leadership. I think that is a little bit too. I mean, you try to. Design something which you, at the end of the day, cannot measure. It's more about mindset rather than KPI.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Thank you. But one question, what makes a good leader? And we can separate that. And how do you lead, especially in compliance? Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, as I said, it's about setting the right tone from the top. Also, ensuring that your team has got a understanding on the compliance risks. So create and ensure transparency on the compliance risks. I mean, what does it mean? Yeah, I mean, it's we always feel a little bit, let's say, unsecure and uncomfortable talking about risks and also failures of the past, about potential fines the company may receive. That's all very human. On the other hand, it's important also to say, hey, in the past, connected to this and that business model, we did something wrong. We had this and this problem, and this develops into a real compliance violation, where we now suffer from the consequences, and that is the way ahead, where we want to avoid that this will, let's say, happen again. And please be aware of this and that. And you can always, if you are in a business dilemma, you can always, speak up. Yeah, speak up culture is very important, where you feel uncomfortable as a part of the team, where you have doubts doing something wrong. Yeah, we have our compliance offices, the compliance professionals. You can always address your questions to them. You don't have to ask first me as the leader before you go to the compliance team. Yeah, work closely together with these guys. They are here to help you. Yeah, these are aspects which I would, from my perspective, would summarize as patterns and an attitude a good leader has in his DNA or her DNA to be a good leader. And I mean, we're not talking about compliance leaders, we are talking about leaders, and compliance is just one part of that good leadership approach and attitude.
Can we say that every leader should be also looking to compliance? That's something where you agree with me?
Of course, because compliance is nothing which is apart from the organization as an add-on. Yeah, compliance is an integral part of each and every business, and the compliance risks are coming out of the business models and out of the markets and out of the interaction with suppliers and customers and other business partners. So it's part of every day's management and every day's leadership, and therefore you have to be aware what it's all about and act accordingly.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But if you're talking about compliance leadership, just talking about the compliance tasks, I mean, what do you think established companies do better in compliance tasks than 5 years ago?
Well, I think we are on a journey. I mean, a couple of years ago, it's probably longer than 5 years ago, when the Siemens scandal popped up and has shaken up corporate Germany, at least, I think we were very much focused on ethical aspects around anti-corruption, bribery. Of course, antitrust plays an important role, but now things develop, and the topics a compliance officer needs to have on his or her screen, and also the companies need to consider, of course, are getting broader and broader. We're talking about data protection, talking about now all these product compliance, technical compliance aspects. We're talking about digital and ethical compliance. So the list of topics gets longer and longer, but the time the business has to deal with these risks and deal with these measures to reduce potential compliance risk, of course, the time is not, the people do not have more time to face compliance. So we need to be holistic, we need to be cohesive, we need to be also more efficient. And that means that I think it's no longer a good approach that we have 10 departments dealing with 10 different compliance risks, but that we try to steer that out of one hand, out of one machine room. And I think companies being on a high maturity level with regard to their compliance management system, they are dealing with that in the right way, and the development has started, but it's still ongoing.
Very interesting. That means, what change do you see in compliance profession? I mean, compared to 5 years ago, we talk about trust, bribery, and now you talked that the list of topics are getting more and more, and the time is getting less. And what is the compliance profession? Is there a change?
Getting a reliable, effective compliance management system is our task. I mean, these days, I think we are no longer discussing the elements of a compliance management system. I think this has been sorted out over the last, let's say, 10 years. It's all about prevent, detect, respond. It's about having a continuous improvement process in place where you also include lessons learned and failures from the past to ensure that the system remains and becomes more effective in the future. So I think the technical aspects are there, and the discussions have been, let's say, the discussions have been finalized, and now it's about to design on that basis a compliance management system and implement it. And the developments which we have seen is, again, that the systems are more cohesive now, that it's embedded into the risk management system of the companies, that it's also, let's say, a certain level of self-confidence that the compliance officer, that this is a profession by its own, that it's not another lawyer or it's not another legal department. It's not only about risk management, but it's about compliance, and that has developed over the last years. And now we are finding a need to design how we, let's say, cope with the digital age. And a lot of companies have got already excellent processes in place with good digital basis, with end-to-end processes where compliance is embedded into the business processes already. All that is on its way. And of course, I mean, the business world is very colorful, and so is the compliance world. But basically, I think these are the important drivers which we see.
Oh, thank you. But what do you think can technology help on the field of compliance? What's your opinion about the technology development, especially in these times?
Yeah, I think a lot of companies have a compliance management system already steered by KPIs, and that, of course, has got a lot to do with data collection and also having the IT in place, creating the transparency on the risk. So things like risk analysis, risk assessments, but also dashboards on the relevant compliance KPIs, all that is existing and driven by technology. And now we are entering a phase where we have to ask ourselves, how can we come from, let's say, prevention to predictive compliance? I think we have a very interesting discussions on behavioral science. I think it's an early stage, but companies, I think, start to discuss how, let's say, behavioral science can be used to improve the compliance management systems. For example, how can we, let's say, get more effective dilemmata trainings if we understand drivers for human behaviors? How can we get a better understanding and awareness on our, let's say, aspects from artificial intelligence and from behavioral science can improve the compliance management systems of the future.
No, very interesting. Any recommendation to how established companies and regtechs can be actively engaged in fighting, for example, against compliance? Because regtechs are growing, and regtechs are described the use of modern computer-based digital technologies to automate, simplify, and improve regulatory, governance, fraud, compliance, anti-corruption, ethical, and risk tasks. And do you have any recommendations to working to establish companies working with regtechs?
I think it's about listening, about learning from each other. That's a good starting point. And then, of course, I think it's important to make things as concrete as possible. So to develop concrete use cases where I can make use of regtechs and respective companies. For example, what I mentioned before in the area for example, regulatory monitoring. I mean, that is something which is existing in the financial sector as a requirement. So banks and insurance companies are obliged to have effective regulatory change monitoring system. It is not that established in the non-regulated world. However, if you look to areas like product compliance, I think where we have a lot of different technical regulation, which is difficult to control and monitor, and then of course to implement into the company's processes. I think these are areas where you can build up concrete use cases. Also, if you look now to the latest development in Europe with compliance in the supply chain compliance chains with regard to compliance with human rights aspects, where you need to consider for example in a global supply chain regulatory requirements on a global basis, maybe not only coming from different jurisdictions, but also from standard setters, from benchmarking exercises, where you need to include certain, let's say, best practices your market leaders have established, because otherwise you cannot compete with them in global processes. I think there are definitely these are some examples where technology and global data.
Yeah, good. The question, it's very interesting that the use case you told that. I mean, regtechs are really interesting in use cases, and I think there should be the people who are listening to RegTech Impact can find an interesting solution, and maybe they should come to contact you or the established companies. But before they do that, to sum it up, they have to listen and learn and to be very concrete. That is what I just get from your answer. That's true.
That's right, but it's of course not a one-way street. Large corporations, complex corporations, should avoid being a little bit blind on technical developments or being too self-confident with regard to their own capabilities. So I think it's also our task to listen carefully about technical developments and who is let's say best talking about that. It's people driving that development, and
yes.
I think there is a good basis to learn from each other.
Absolutely. One also question is, the professional skills will become increasingly important for the risk manager or compliance manager in the future. What are the three compliance skills or topics that should definitely be trained by external trainers, for example?
Difficult question, because I don't think that we should focus or limit this question to external trainers, because mm-hmm. It really depends on the company and also their, let's say, development and excellence understanding, whether they have these skills in-house or external. But what are basic skills for compliance officers? I mean, there are so many, but to pick three, I think it's about how do I work together with, and how do I understand leaders, so to have the right level of not only the right level of understanding how leaders behave, these psychological basic skills. I think that is very important, because otherwise you cannot interact with leaders. Then of course really to be trained with regard to and have a good understanding of the opportunities, but also of the risks of digitalization. Of course, this needs to be focused on your businesses, because otherwise it's too broad. But what is the development the company will go through with regard to digitalization, and what is the added value and the task for compliance in that respect? Third one, how can I ensure to stay strong? Yeah? Because the job we are doing is not an easy one, and you need to have the right balance between, on the one hand, listening and being proactive and being business supportive, but on the other hand, you need compliance needs to be more important than a short-term business success.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, to be able to transform the compliance function into the digital age, all parties of the global ecosystem, public and private, should work together. Who globally are taking the lead in this? Do you have any answer for this question?
Actually not, because I think the answer can only be given for your industry you're in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for the insurance industry, I could give an answer, but now I'm back in the traditional industry, in the auto industry, and I'm too early with BMW. I'm still in my listening mode to answer that. I mean, basically, I would say companies are more flexible, are faster, and have more opportunities to, develop really concrete, effective solutions with regard to these questions. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an expert yet for this industry, so I don't know what are the role and what is the added value of other stakeholders, for example, including the authorities, mm-hmm. Which of course are the rule setters and which influence, of course, with regard to environmental standards, of course, our industry a lot. So we should carefully listening what they say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Finally, the last question that I'm always box would you recommend?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I love that. I mean, at the moment I do not have that much time to read, but I would recommend a very traditional book. I love the books from Don Winslow, the thrillers about Art Keller acting as an inspector, as an officer in fighting the Mexican and the U.S. cocaine cartels, because it's excellent stories about how to be brave and how to ensure integrity, and then what are the different cultures. So I love that. And let's say on the other side of the scale, I'm looking into Amy C. Edmondson's book about the Fearless Organization, because it's really something also to my personal learning expedition about change, transition, and also the chances of digitalization. So that would be my recommendation. But of course, when it comes to book, it's always a very personal aspect.
Absolutely, but thanks, Christoph. It was a pleasure to having you as a podcast at RegTech Impact. We are in the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure. And thank you very much for the chance, and looking forward. Thank you.
Thank you.